Turn to John's Gospel in chapter 15. John 15, I'll read verses 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Well, may God bless to us that reading from his word. We're looking at the letters of the alphabet to look at different aspects of Jesus revealed in the scriptures, and we reach letter V. I want to look at Jesus tonight, as he says he is in John 15, the vine. But he doesn't just describe himself as the vine, he actually describes himself as the true vine. And why, you may think, would he do that? Well, in the Old Testament, there are several passages where it refers to the nation of Israel as a vine as well. And sadly, because of their sin, very often they didn't accomplish what they were supposed to do. But not so Jesus. He is the true vine, the perfect, the ideal, enduring vine. And he describes his Father here as the husbandman. That was the vine dresser, the one who would look after all the vines in a vineyard. So far that's pretty simple, isn't it? But then you come into a great difficulty, a great controversy, you might say, as to who on earth is Jesus talking about when he speaks of the branches. The main value of a vine is to bring forth fruit. It really has no other purpose. And it says in verse 2, a branch doesn't bear fruit. The Father taketh it away. And in verse 6, cast into the fire and burned. So who are these branches that Jesus is talking about here? I am the vine and ye are the branches. It seems likely when we look at the passage in its context and where Jesus was speaking this and compared it to the other Gospels, he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 2, he speaks of the branches in me. Believers in Christ are in Christ. Good study for you to do is to go through Ephesians and look at all the references there to the fact as believers we are in Christ. So if the branches are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, what do we then do when it says about them being taken away, cast into the fire? So it seems as if it's speaking of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ eternally perishing, which would be a total contradiction of the rest of the Word of God. God speaks of the eternal security of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told if we believe on Christ, we have everlasting life. I know I've said this to you before, but if you have something that's everlasting, you can't possibly lose it. Or what you had wasn't everlasting in the first place. So Jesus teaches that if we believe upon him, we have something that will last forevermore. We're told in the Word of God, we are kept by the power of God, so that we'll inherit that glorious inheritance reserved for us in heaven. And then in Romans 8, it goes through the work of God in salvation. Those he predestinates, he calls. Those he calls, he justifies. And those he justifies, he glorifies. So all he calls to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will ultimately be glorified. And then we're told at the end of Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. I've just given you a few examples there of the eternal security of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But would seem to be totally contradicted if the branches are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the way it speaks of them at first glance, they're being taken away and cast into the fire and burned. But not only would it contradict the rest of the Bible's teaching on the eternal security of a believer, it would contradict a lot of what John says in his own gospel. I'll give you a few examples. In chapter 4, he says, whosoever drinketh the water I give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So there again, and we've got it earlier in John's gospel, Jesus speaking about faith in him results in everlasting life, something that can't possibly be lost because it's everlasting. Then in John 10, Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Or again in John 18, Jesus speaks of them which the Father gave him, and he says, of them I have lost nothing, nothing. So if the branches are believers, and if it's saying that they are taken away, cast into fire, seems to suggest on the surface, we'll see differently in a minute, that they eternally perish. It seems to be contradicting the whole of the Bible, and it seems to be contradicting all the things we read of in John's Gospel. Now, it's not speaking here, as some have sought to get out of this dilemma, of those who are not genuine believers, but false professors of faith. I can well understand why some put forward that sort of theory, because if you believe rightly in the eternal security of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you understand this passage wrongly, you may think, well, if these are genuine believers, it's talking about them being eternally lost, and I can't accept that. So my way out of it is to say, well, they're false professors of faith. They weren't real, genuine believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't really stand up, because Jesus is talking about those who are in him, the vine, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I want you to understand is this. It's not talking about a branch here never bringing forth fruit, but a branch that is no longer doing so. And the expression that's translated from the Greek there in verse 2, taketh away, is a very, very poor translation in the AV, by their own AV standards. And I'll just demonstrate that to you. The very same Greek word that they translate take away here in Luke 17 and Acts 4 is translated lifted up. Lifted up voices. And then in John 10, it's translated the same way, lifted up his eyes. And in Revelation 10, the very same Greek word, lifted up his hand. So you can translate this far, far better. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he lifteth up. Which is more to do with spiritually improving somebody than casting them away forever. Just as we're told, the branches that bear much fruit, he purges them. Not necessarily meaning he cuts them back. A vine dresser in Palestine would wash the branches to remove various insects and the deposits they made and moss, so that the vine would bring forth much fruit. In verse 6, it speaks of a branch not being in the vine, but not abiding in me. Can I notice the difference? Not saying the branch is not in the vine, but not abiding in me. Man isn't in the original at all in the Greek in that verse. With the result, not abiding in Christ the vine, they don't bring forth the fruit that they should. And that's a very similar verse to what you read of in 1 Corinthians 3. If any man's work shall be burned, and it's the same Greek word that's used there in verse 6, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Now, when you put all I've just said to you together, Jesus is speaking of believers in him, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are in him, the vine, but who are not abiding in him. And therefore, they're not bringing forth the fruit in their lives that they ought to be doing so. So God the Father has to deal with them. And if they don't improve spiritually, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. But eternally, they won't live a life that will have as much value and be as much blessed by Almighty God. So Jesus is saying, what's really important as believers? That we abide in him. You can be in him, the branch, as a believer, but not be abiding in him as a believer. On faith in Christ, you're one of the branches in him, the vine. But it doesn't mean necessarily, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're abiding in him as you ought to be so doing in your life. If we abide in him, we'll more and more bring forth the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritual fruit to the glory of God. Jesus says that here. A branch can't bring forth fruit of itself. It receives the sap from the vine, and really it's the vine that produces what the branch ultimately produces, not the branch in and of itself. And Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing spiritually good of eternal value apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ can do whatever he wills without you, but you can't do anything without him. What a difference between the two. So what is therefore meant by abiding in him? And we're given two clues in verses 7 and 9. Christ's words in us, continuing in his love. The word translated abide means remain, dwell, continue. It's a word that would be used for staying close by somebody or being in communion, close communion with somebody. So when we abide in Christ as believers, it means maintaining a very close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that we recognize that without him, we would have no salvation. No works that you've done and no works that you do as a Christian save you. It's by Christ's work alone you're saved. And when we abide in him, we're resting totally, solely, only on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, a sinner. It also, abiding in Christ, means recognizing that really we need to continue in his love. We need to love Christ more and more. We need to be lost in wonder, love, and praise at his love for us. And we should be, if we're abiding in Christ, want to grow in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It involves us being ruled by his words. When we abide in Christ, then we submit to the rule of Christ in our lives, the will of Christ in our lives. We want to live in obedience to his word. It also involves, and Jesus mentions it, prayer. It's saying that if we abide in him and his words abide in us, Jesus says, our prayers will be answered. Quite a statement, really. But when you think about it, if those two things are true, if you're abiding in him and his words are abiding in you, you're much more likely to be praying according to the will of God. And perhaps one of the reasons, if we're honest, we don't have the power in prayer or the answers in prayer we would like to see. It may be because you're not maintaining a very close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're not living in some way according to what he has said. But if that's abiding in Christ, what is the fruit it produces? Well, it's not talking about the fruit of outward services for the Lord Jesus Christ. If it was, many Christians have an enormous problem. A lot of Christians who have terrible health problems, Christians as they get older and older and more frail and feeble, are very limited in what they can do when it comes to outward acts of service. But what it's talking about applies to all Christians for all time. It doesn't matter how old and frail you are. It doesn't matter how poor your health is. The fruit is the character of Christ being produced in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, which is really a wonderful description of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Lovely characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more and more we bring forth a character of Christ in our lives as we abide in him with all that we saw involves, the more God will be glorified. He says here, here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So to round it all up, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is eternally secure. No questions, no doubt about that. I give you a few examples. The Word of God is saturated with scriptures to support the fact that you can't be a child of God today and a child of the devil tomorrow. You can't be saved today and then lost again tomorrow. Every believer is eternally secure. But every believer has the responsibility to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we don't, with that, what that involves, we won't bring forth the character of Christ more and more in our lives to the glory of Almighty God. So we need to, if we're going to abide in him, recognize that it's Christ and Christ alone that saved us. We're abiding in him for salvation. Nothing we did before we were converted, nothing we've done after we've converted, contributes to our salvation. It's the work of Christ alone. It involves us recognizing the need of Christ's help if we're going to more and more become like him and if we're going to serve him in any particular way. It means in every aspect of our lives, his word should rule and govern our behavior. It means if we abide in Christ, we don't take his love for granted. We're lost in love and wonder and praise at his continual love for us. but we want to, in response, love him more and more. You see, as believers, Christ abides in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But we need to continually, as the branches in the vine, Christ, on faith in him, abide in him. And God the Father, maybe the husbandman, will often have to lift us up, correct us, reprove us, cleanse us, so that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we do abide in the Lord Jesus Christ as we ought to do. And so we do bring forth much fruit to the glory of Almighty God.